Second part of this conference will be trying to connect these two guys, Benedict with Augustine, or Augustine with Benedict, whichever you like. And they come from different contexts, as I said at the very beginning of this talk. Is there anything that connects these two men of God? Well, I think I just said it. Two men of God. They were born in so different contexts, in different countries, cultures, and raised by two different families. Augustine's writings, including the Rule, is so full of his African culture, as well as the Rule of Benedict, is full of his Italian, European culture. They're both men of their times. Yeah. The Rule of Augustine goes directly to the point. Benedict needs to explain everything with details, and you know, as I said, you know, a good example of that is the chapter about prayer and Augustine, and the summoned chapters about prayer and Benedict. And you saw the difference in the papers there. So their vision of the superior, as I said before, it's kind of different. It's not the same thing when you say, oh, well, the superior of the community is the servant of the community. Is there to serve the community. As if you say, when Benedict, of course, Benedict will emphasize in that, he's there to serve too. But the first thing will be that he holds a place of Christ in the monastery. He holds a place of Christ in the monastery. So this is something important. They both have points in common, and they have some point that you don't find in any of the rules. And you won't find Augustine talking about guests and or specifying what psalms the community should or should not pray. He doesn't do that. He doesn't need to do that. Yeah. Because the context of the rule is so different. Remember, he's writing to a community of nuns who are having problems because of the superior. That's not the case in Benedict's rule. So it's good to remember that. I mean, we're not talking about the same context. And we're talking about these two men who are from different countries, from different cultures. And of course, they're so full of their culture that they put that. You can see it in the rule when they write. Augustine talking about guests, is, you know, as I said, you don't see that and stuff like that. But they have something in common that I want to say. They're both seekers of God. At the end, I want us to look at them as people who really made a path for us to seek God in our lives. These two fascinating men and his communities keep telling us today that the world, that there's something more that where eyes can see. There is something more. They keep telling us that today we're responsible for the spiritual beauty of the people and the things around us. Brothers and sisters, I think it's not enough to complain about how bad things are going, you know, out there and stuff like that. And look at the news and watch the news, and we, you know, it's terrible. And then we start complaining and stuff like that. But sometimes we just do that. It's a human thing. Well, St. Augustine will say that, and this is not a new thing, human beings complaining about how bad things are and stuff like that. This is very old. Augustine will say, bad times, this is what people keep saying. But let us live well, and times shall be good. We are the times. We are the times. Such as we are, such are the times. So I think this is something that really touched me when I thought of these two men. They're seekers of God. They seek God with all their hearts, and they want their communities to seek God. Of course, as all of us, as we inherited all this to spirituality. Benedictine Augustinian Catholic, I would say, we're universal. I think we have a great treasure here that we're holding in our hands, and we should, really take advantage of that. Sometimes, it's a really gift. It's a real gift that we have in our society, and we have something to offer. Because as I said, these two men, I think, are saying there's something more than our eyes can see. I'd like to go over, what we're going to do is get in pairs of two, and the person next to you is going to be your partner in this, and that's where the rule of Benedict is going to become very useful now. And I want the first group, and you probably saw this in the program, the first group to look at the prologue of Saint Benedict and chapter 1 of Saint Augustine. You have both rules. Okay, so that's that. The second group will be Chris and Paul. You can take a look at chapter 2 of Saint Benedict and chapter 7 of Saint Augustine. First group was the prologue of Saint Benedict and chapter 1. Second group was chapter 2 of Saint Benedict and chapter 7 of Saint Augustine. The third group, which is Alice around there, will be chapter 5 of Saint Benedict and chapter 7 of Saint Augustine. It's just to take a look at it. You don't have to read the whole thing. It's just to, you'll find it there. The next group will be both of you, and that's, you're going to do chapter 28 of Saint Benedict and chapter 4 of Saint Augustine, numbers 10 and 11, just 10 and 11, right? Do you write that down? You got it?
Got it.
Chapter 28 and chapter 4, 10 and 11. And then the last group, which is Brother Thomas and John, it's chapter 36 of Saint Benedict and chapter 5, number 5 and 6 of Saint Augustine. Got it, brother?
5 and 6.
Chapter 36 of Saint Benedict and chapter 5 of Saint Augustine, number 5 and 6. Okay.
Another one of the rule of Augustine. Paul wasn't here. No, Augustine's rule. The handout.
No.
Paul didn't.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
This is not the key.
Well, see, this is something that should be quick, and see if you can find something in common or something so different.
Thank you.
So at the end of your, we're going to share with the group what you saw in the two rules. Ready to share with? Is any of the groups ready to share with? All right.
Okay.
So
our assignment was chapter 28 in Leviticus,
and chapter, I think it's 4, sections 10 and 11 in Augustine.
That's correct.
And they focus on basically those who refuse to amend after frequent reproofs. What we found, well, the similar themes here is, you know, first, actually, it's the polar. In the beginning, Augustine says to pray for the people if they're willing to work at it, but if they don't, if they're not willing, then punish them, right? For St. Benedict, he has a process that, you know, after a person has been excommunicated and still doesn't amend, then you follow X, Y, and Z steps.
Yeah, steps 1, 2, 3. It's almost like a Roman law thing set up. Here is the probation this time. He's got it all, but we're
who's the E here? I'm lost.
What?
Who are you talking about now? Benedict?
Yes. Benedict has very much got the steps all outlined, where Augustine said basically, take whatever steps you think in.
All right.
And it's very much open.
Very nice. Thank you. Wolves. Wolves is ready.
Something
quick.
In the last quarter century, have done work together on St. Augustine.
We have long memories.
Father Augustine will interrupt me, please, anytime. What we observe, first of all, is that Augustine's prologue, or his first chapter, is written ad hoc to the situation. He's not working in leisure. Benedict is sitting back. He he's writing this with a purpose. He's got time to reflect. We both shared an observation that Benedict uses a lot of metaphors, a lot of scriptural quotation, because he's in a leisure situation. And his whole purpose was to be a monk and to get away from the world. From my knowledge of Augustine, he was a monk, he was a bishop, he was everything. The barbarians were at the gates of his dwelling. He's always under pressure for his whole life, internal and external. And so his writing here is not very to the point, doesn't have a lot of metaphor, does show the spirit of Benedict to love God and your neighbor and to live harmoniously. I think they share that. So, but you have two men in two very different situations, and you have Augustine, very influenced by his African, the Numidian background, where he's not going to be so structured as a guy who's inherited, already inherited a great deal of the Roman Church in the way he sets up his thinking. So I think that's what we saw, but please, Father Augustine, say more.
All right. Thank you very much. Wolfs is willing to share that. Did anybody else find something interesting?
We had chapter 2 with the qualities of the abbot and chapter 7 of the governance and obedience in the rule of Augustine. And it seems very similar to me that he wants the abbot or the leader of the community to be stern and to uphold the rules, but not to be so harsh that you're going to be not able to live up to the rules and the guidelines that he's trying to set out. So I just feel like they're very, very similar in that way.
Very nice. Good, thank you.
Those are some letters that the Buddha referred to us, the Father. First thing he talks about the Suryas, after some God. So if you disobey the Supriya, you are disobeying God. There's some God, the land of Christ. Guru Benedict also says, the Abba, the Father, therefore, if we obey, when everybody is in the wrong, as a father, this is the son, so there are also shows of this
thing. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Is that it?
Excuse me, I have a hard time hearing Paul. Could you kind of sum up what you were saying?
It sounds similar.
Well, it's basically where they came to a conclusion that they see him, especially Paul was emphasizing how both of them talk about the superior of the community as a father. You know, they have to give an account for the members of the community, of course. So that's, I think, what Paul was exposing to us.
I don't know.
That's a good.
Sure,
that's a good start.
I think I have chapter 5, Saint Benedict, obedience. Following the abbot, I guess as he stands in the place of Christ, and also you could grumble in your heart, you could still do. Follow what you're supposed to do, but if you're grumbling in your heart about it, it doesn't, count for the good. I don't know if you have the book on page 30. It says, if a disciple obeys grudgingly and grumbles, not only aloud, but also in his heart, then even though he carries out the order, his action will not be accepted with favor by God, who sees that he is grumbling in his heart. And I'm a little confused with the Saint Augustine one. It sounds very similar to me, that the superior should be obeyed as a father. I don't know, unless maybe you could help us. I mean, do they look at the superior as standing in the place of Christ also? They don't. I didn't think so. So that would be
Not there. That's not the way he talks about his superior. Doesn't mean he doesn't think that way. He doesn't talk about that. He doesn't talk like about that that way. You know, he doesn't say that. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Something quick, because so we can finish.
Chapter 36 in the Rule, the Benedictine. Chapter 5 is Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 5 and 6, I think.
Yes.
Well, they both talk about how this is taking baths, but Benedict seems to be more strict about that. Augustine's like, yeah, take baths if you need to. Yeah, and Augustine also seems to be like, hey, Mary, if you guys don't know what you're doing today, like, seek out doctor's mm-hmm. advice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't do this on your own. But Benedict's like, no, they gotta be treated like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably doesn't make sense, because supposed to treat like Christ can't really help them. They're not really treating like Christ.
Okay. All right.
And then there's that thing about verse 6. In St. Augustine, nothing like it is in Benedict at all. Talking about the cause of brother's bodily pain is not apparent. You must take the word of God's servant when he indicates what is giving him pain. But if it remains uncertain whether the remedy of bites is good for him, a doctor should be consulted. Like, Benedict says nothing about that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Benedict doesn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he kind of cares, but at the same time, he really doesn't. Seems like Augustine's the one who really cares.
Okay. So thank you very much, all of you, because I just wanted to get to this very little exercise, so you can see by yourself that this is, you can find very, you know, common points there, but you can also find things that, you know, you didn't probably, you'll not hear something like, you know, guests or this kind of, you know, Sikh members of the community, one of the rules, but you could find it in the other one. So I wanted you to see it by yourself, that this is not by yourselves, that this is not, you know, this is something that you can find in both rules. Sometimes you do some points there, you have a good connection to do some of them that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of give a conclusion to this talk or conference, whatever you want to call it, and this is something that I really I have to say that I really enjoy doing this with you. I'm not fully recovered, but I think I didn't want to miss it. So I think the conclusion of all this is that returning to the rule of Benedict, where we started, we might note that the places where Augustine is echoed in the rule of Benedict are those which deal with the community of God, of God's conduct in the auditory. The dictum, which is let mind and voice be in harmony, which is very important, receiving gifts from relatives, serving the brothers without murmuring, the superior striving to be loved rather than feared, and remembering that he has to render an account of those entrusted to him. But I think that Augustine's main contribution is not in details. It's in the vision of the monastery as a Christian community of people who love one another as Christ loves them. Augustine was a pioneer and one of the first ones to put monasticism and scholarship together, monastic ascetism and community life together, and monastic life and priestly service together. For oblates and for all of us, I think, the lesson of Augustine is his vision of Christian community. Community is a very difficult task for us today, I think, you know, this 21st century. Our culture has pushed individualism to what one hopes are the outline limits. As a result, people find themselves very alone and without a vision of what community should be. This affects our families, our parishes, our communities in the monasteries, our cities, our nation, and our attitudes toward other nations. No more than Augustine will be able to achieve perfect harmony or a perfect reflection of beauty absolute. I think this is God. But like him, we hunger for community. And like him and Saint Benedict, we can honor one another and bear one another's burdens. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, world without end. Amen. Thank you all. Being a pleasure.
This was so wonderful. I can't tell you. I just wish you could go on.
I enjoy myself.
The abbot is to be as Christ, but then there's different ways of looking at Christ. You look at it as a primus inter pares, mm-hmm. or as a hoi basileus.
Well, there's a lot to talk, but you know, you try to summarize everything.
Very quickly, next month will be our retreat day up at the Shrine of St. Joseph in Sterling. $45 for the day. If you need financial assistance, let Father Albert know. We'll start at 9 and go until 3:30 in the afternoon. It's a beautiful place. It's really nice. So let me know if you're going to talk by October 1st. I'm pretty sure this is Father John Gorski, who has to have brain surgery. So, yes. Yeah, he's going to have it, yes. So please keep him on the prayer list, and Brother Alessio's continuing recovery, and of course for the novices and for the Thomas and the final labs and for the whole community. So I think that's it. We have 10 minutes to get to church. So.
Thank you very much.
I just had a cold or a bad stomach.
It's